The question is, how is the Trinity reflecting relationships in God, and it can lead to authenticity in our own lives as we understand it? I have to say something about the doctrine of the Trinity. We have to admit that anything related to the character and nature of God is for us to some degree a mystery. But unfortunately, I think some people come to the doctrine of the Trinity and they play the mystery card too quickly. There are things about my faith that are fairly clear to me now, not completely clear, but fairly clear to me now, that were utterly opaque to me 10 years ago. I could have called them a mystery and disengaged from any kind of hard, rigorous work to understand better. I think we need to stay engaged relative to the doctrine of Trinity. God has revealed these things to us in Scripture. The Church has affirmed the doctrine of Trinity in its councils, particularly Nicaea, and so on. So we should stay engaged in this particular doctrine. And the mysteries that can unfold to us as we study it reveal to us tremendous things about how much we're loved of God and so on. Let me give you an example. If you talk to a non-Trinitarian monotheist, somebody who's Jewish, somebody who's a Muslim, somebody who's Jehovah's Witness, and you ask them, do you believe that God is a contingent being or a non-contingent being? They may say to you, what do you mean by contingent? And I explain to them that Augustine said there are four causes of things that are caused. There's a material cause. If you take a table, the tree from which that table is made, the wood from which it's made. There's the formal cause, the blueprint out of which it was made. There's the efficient cause, the lumberjack who cut down the tree, the miller who milled the wood to workable size, and the carpenter who built the table. And then the final cause, that it could be used as a dining room table in somebody's home. Contingent things have causes. Is God a contingent being that's caused? Or is he a self-existent thing who is non-contingent, a self-existent one who's non-contingent? Always, these non-Trinitarian monotheists, when they understand the question, and the hundreds of times I've had these discussions, have said to me, he's non-contingent. Then if I say to them, do you believe God's a God of love? They will say yes. Jehovah's Witness will say yes right away. The Jew will say yes, but maybe doubt whether or not God loves him. The Muslim might think about it for a minute, but all the Muslims I've talked to over the years have all conceded, yes, God's a God of love. Third question, who's the object of his love? And all of them end up saying creation, or we are, and so on. And then you point out the contradiction in their thinking. If God's a non-contingent being, and he needs creation to fulfill his nature, he's both non-contingent and contingent, and therefore there's a contradiction in the character and nature of God. Relational attributes in a non-contingent being presuppose that relationship is necessary in that being. Now, what we discover in Scripture is that God's love is ontological. That is, it's essential to his being. It's not something that comes about. It's something that God is. And God enjoys love relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one, and yet three persons. And they live in an eternal love relationship that's teeming with energy so that it creates, so that we can be in relationship with him, not as members of the Trinity, not as people who will one day be gods, but as people who have the capacity to have relationship with God. It's remarkable. So the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, reveals to us the love of God, reveals to us the ontological nature of the love of God, God is love, and reveals to us too the kind of thing that God is inviting us as human beings to engage in.